What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, bringing that awesome sauce, he is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I told you, I'm stressed out.
I know you're stressed out. Tell me why. Tell the listeners
because
why.
Because of the dog. The puppy got hurt.
Listen to the pre-show if you want that story. Right? We're not giving that story out for free.
But, you know, he's on meds. He's totally fine. It's not a major injury. It's just...
He's on the mend.
It's just, you know... It got to me. But, you know, we have a good show to do ahead of us, so...
We do. Can you explain
that's
to
focused.
Me...
Yes, I can.
...how incredibly obnoxiously hot it was today?
So, I went for a walk yesterday, and I was just dripping with sweat when I got back home 2 hours later.
And that was yesterday.
Yesterday. Today, I didn't go outside for more than, I want to say, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It was just unbearable.
Here's what doesn't happen. You know, you would perspire. Today, you would perspire,
mm-hmm.
but it would evaporate off your body before it like, accumulated actual sweat.
Mm-hmm.
So, just ugly. Mm-hmm. Just real ugly. But for those of you that are new around these parts, this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is where Andy and I go over some video game news that we cherry-picked for you. We discuss video games past, present, and future. We just have an overall good time. This is going to post each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, podbean.com, and it records live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Now, from now until further notice, this is going to record on Mondays, Monday evenings or late afternoons. We haven't really landed on a spot just yet. But we are going to be doing this on Mondays because of work schedules just kind of being thrown around and just all crazy. Sunday nights just seemed like a tough night to just get together and do this for now. But do not fret because the video version of the show will also post on youtube.com/dualscreenstv on Tuesday evenings because we do have to wait 24 hours to post any video from Twitch onto YouTube. Before we get into the show... let's tell you about our other shows, including the Dual Screens Podcast, which is our interview show where we bring on an industry guest to tell us their story. And boy, Andy, did we have a hell of a guest. And the show is getting thousands of clicks at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We had Tommy Earl Jenkins, of course, the actor who played Die Hardman or Hardman, depending on who you ask. If you ask a Jewish man, it's Hardman.
Hardman. Right. I would say it as a joke, like Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Die Hardman. Of course, from Death Stranding,
yep.
And that was one of our top five, I want to say, interviews.
It's definitely, yeah, it was definitely a top five interview, and it's probably getting the most traction any interview we have done yet.
Mm-hmm.
Which just goes to show you, AAA games just get more clicks. So
right.
Even though we mostly... interview indie talent, but the voice actors typically are in all sizes of games.
Mm-hmm.
They're easier to get, but considering it was a Kojima game and the conversation was mostly about Kojima, it's doing really well. So we thank you all for listening. Hopefully you're listening to this, you stuck around, and we thank you very much for doing that. And of course, that posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure, and we have another guest lined up for this week, and we'll tell you about that at the end of the show. And of course, we have our seasonal shows, Dual Screens Versus, which you could find on YouTube and on our podcast channel. Just scroll back. It's all on one channel. You don't have to subscribe anywhere else. And we can't do anything without your support. And if you want to support us with your hard-earned cash, you can go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, FNH Paul and Colton the Apprentice Nestler. FNH Paul, of course, comes from Twitch. He was a guest host on Dual Screens TV. And if you want to follow him on Twitch as a thank you for being our producer, he's twitch.tv/FNH Paul. Very simple. Just go over there and tell him Dual Screens sent you. Every little dollar helps. So thank you so, so very much. All right. Time to get into the show, Andy.
Oh boy.
It is time for everybody's favorite future t-shirt. The Adventures in Gaming. 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 Andy.
Yes.
What you been playing?
So I unlocked every single additional ending and mode in Bloodstained Curse of the Moon 2, which took longer than I expected because you have to play the game around, I want to say, 5 times to unlock everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because you can make decisions. Well, no, it's more about having certain items or weapons at the last boss to unlock certain additional chapters.
Okay.
That took a while. I played
the... Now, you were having issues with the difficulty of the game. Did you mm-hmm. eventually get through that curve?
Well, when you unlock other modes, you get the first game's characters on your roster, which makes things way easier. Like, the old spellcasting dude has, like, this one spell that, like, just tears through everything. Like, it melts.
Yeah, and he also has that shield, the force field thing. That, right. That's, like, the biggest cheat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I haven't played it yet. So, I mean, I really, really, really liked Curse of the Moon. Mm-hmm. But the fact that this one is exponentially more difficult kind of mm-hmm. makes it, I don't know. I don't want frustration right now.
Right. Like, it was playing casual just to get through it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that would be something that I would probably look to doing.
Right. So I did that. I mm-hmm. played a little bit of Death Stranding because I got a little nostalgic with our last interview because I had to. I was like, man, I missed that game. But I also played another gem, a new gem.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Ghost of Tsushima. Holy shit.
Yeah, I've been playing this.
Oh,
well.
My God.
I'm not that deep into it.
Still, though, just looking at it, it's breathtaking.
See, here's the thing. Like, it's visually, I feel like it's one of the weaker of the late gen titles. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's definitely behind. Like, but in a very specific way.
Sure.
I tweeted this earlier, but it feels less like photorealism, and it feels like it's going more for like Bob Ross landscape painting, mm-hmm. where it's like you're looking at it from afar, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Almost kind of like Spider-Man. Like Spider-Man, when you are looking at the city, like the buildings don't have a ton of detail on them, mm-hmm. but when you're moving, or when you're looking at the sunset from far away, or like something like that, it just looks like it looks just mind blowing.
Right.
That's kind of like how I feel about Ghosts. Like the flowers look kind of blurry, and like some textures don't look exactly crisp. They look, but like in motion and everything kind of laid out in front of you in a landscape, it's absolutely gorgeous. Like they do incredible things with the landscape in this game.
Right, and it's also worth noting, I love how we began the PS4 life cycle with Second Son, infamous Second Son from Sucker Punch. Mm-hmm. And now we're closing it out with their latest game. And you can see how much they've learned and improved over the course of an entire generation with a launch game and how this game looks and feels. It's like night and day. It's getting rave reviews. And I think I saw an article that said that it was the best-selling first-party game in Japan ever in launch. Like launch sales, like day one launch sales.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it. I feel like so far it deserves it. Like I'm like I said, I'm maybe 2 hours in of playing, and I'm finding question marks and just doing that. Mm-hmm. And I did a little bit of one of the side quests that you get. I came across a guy who, I mean, we're going to talk... Not like main story spoilers, I guess, but it's a side mission kind of spoiler, but you find somebody that is supposedly also a samurai.
Yeah.
I don't know if you did that one, but it was funny. It had some charm. Mm-hmm. I was laughing a little bit. Like it's the first real like side quest I did. Uh-huh. And it juxtaposed with everything that this guy lost.
Cause that game is very gritty and brutal. It's like, there's no room for humor in this drama, but then again,
and then
there
you come across this other thing and I'm laughing because like, so it's this
because
guy who's
supposed to laugh at what's going on all around you.
Right. Right. Basically this little group of survivors are worshiping this samurai. And they're like, you haven't heard of this guy? He did this, he did this, he did this. And the first thing, what's the main character's name? Jin,
yeah.
The first thing he realizes is that...
Tom Cruise?
he's not using a samurai horse. Mm-hmm. He's, like, he just picks it out immediately. It was like, this guy's not a fucking samurai. And then you spend, like, 5 minutes chasing this guy through the countryside.
You fake!
And it's a great moment, but earplugs if you don't want it. But I'm not going to ruin it. You just
all right.
Do it.
Let me get there.
Get there because it brings much needed levity.
Okay.
To like everything going on and like
because that game just really feels at this point way too serious. Yeah. But I'm loving the combat and the standoffs most of all.
Yes, the standoffs are great. The combat, like I know people are complaining about the lack of a lock-on system.
Right.
But I think it actually does locking on a little bit better than than some games that attempt to do a lock-on system. Like the God of War and Spider-Man do lock-on great. Like Arkham game does it great.
Mm-hmm.
Assassin's Creed doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like it's terrible. It floats all over the place. It's like some games don't do it. But this game, it's all about the left stick. Mm-hmm. Just point it to who you want to fight, and he squares off. It's not, it doesn't move the camera, but it squares your character off, and kind of lets you. It makes it seem more fluid and less robotic. In a, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the flow just feels a lot better than a traditional lock-on mechanic would feel.
I'm messing with your your audio delay on live stream because
you're all
fucked up.
Oh,
so
we should have done some clappy claps in the beginning.
I'm not too worried about it. But yeah, so I mean, Ghost is great, but I'm also playing Tower of Time.
Oh yeah, how is that?
It's okay. I could definitely see how, you know, the tabletop RPG crowd that, you know, like the strategy RPG, like that kind of group would really be into it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm having a difficult time getting into with it, for those who don't know what it is, essentially it's, you go through a tower and you're unlocking loot and you're fighting bosses and you're fighting groups. You're unlocking, different areas. It's basically like you don't level up traditionally, which I don't like. It's not like experience points. It's more about the loot you find and kind of equipping it in the right way and like doing a right balance with that. I'm not that far into it. It's just it's taking me longer to get into the battles because it's more about so like you meet a monster and then it changes, goes or a group or whatever, and it goes to a loading screen of almost like a mini Dota map.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, here's the gate where the bad guys are coming from, here's your starting area, and then there's like some obstacles and stuff in the way, and then like you'll do your movement, like, oh, I want my guy to move here, then to go over here, and like they'll start moving and then the enemies will start moving, and then it's in real time from there, but you're like moving them with almost like it's definitely a PC game, just put it that way, like pointing and clicking. And then, like, you bring up your attack wheel, and then you pick a certain attack, and you know, you send it that way. And once you get the hang of it, it's definitely satisfying, but it was not at all what I was looking toward. Like, I was, like, I was hoping for more action-oriented stuff. Like, I didn't look up the game at all. I just know that a lot of people loved it. Like, the Steam reviews are great. So I was like, you know what? This is great. It's on the Switch. It's on the go. I could put some time into it while the kids are playing outside or whatever. But it's so slow. Like, I don't know. It's like, a lot of people say, oh, it's like Diablo with the, you know, all the loot. And I guess I could see that. But it's so painstakingly slow. And everything has a loading screen. It's like, it's more of a relax, chill out. Kind of like how I could see people playing Fire Emblem almost. Like, okay, I'm in this battle. I finish this battle. I put the thing down. And then I'll come back to it later. Right. The other thing is the environments are really, really beautifully, like, created. They're imaginative, like colors and all that stuff, but the characters and everything look like a PSP game, and I don't know. It just looks like crap. And I know it doesn't look like that on PC, so it's a Switch thing. Resolution is just not great. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. I'm playing those two games, and of course, I've been playing a little game called Apex Legends. Which,
here we go.
It is time. Into a minute of Apex Legends. Ladies and gentlemen, Apex Legends, let me tell you something. I'm getting better. The other night, we gave away three games because we got three dubs in one night, Andy.
I noticed this. I know.
Three?
I'm very proud of you.
In one night.
Three whole games.
Now, here's what we realized happened. We started playing in ranked mode. Ranked mode puts you in with like-skilled players, even though skill-based matchmaking is in regular lobbies. The problem with that...
Oh, I see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So you're with those who suck like you do.
No. Those who are just as good as us. That's the way you got to look at it. They're just as good as us, but not better than us. Not really that worse than us. Okay. And it actually raises my game because I see the mistakes I make in them. Like, I'm like, oh, that's why I'm so easily killed. Because I do shit like that. And then I figure it out, and then I get better.
Fascinating.
And that is a minute of Apex Legends.
Love it.
All right, Andy, take us into the indie news update.
This, again, this really feels like it's updating on previous guests of the show. Swim Sanity, who was one of our first guests on the revamped Dual Screens podcast. I mean, I think it was episode 3 or 4. One of those two.
Yeah, it was early on when we rebranded.
Right. It's got a release date, August 7th.
Woohoo!
So it's going to go down, dude. That's it. It's happening. We're playing that shit.
Yeah, that looks like a lot of fun. I never got my hands on it at PAX or anything like that. So.
Oh, yeah, dude, you're going to love it.
Oh, and they were at Play NYC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I never
You are going to rub it.
Well, I'm excited for it. Mm-hmm. Our friend Matty Allen Estock is making a new game, a shoot 'em up.
Did you see that? Really?
And he's making it live on twitch.tv/.
But what about his other game?
Which one? Space Duet?
Not that one. The other
Kingdom
one.
Kingdom Bash. Yes. That ship has sailed.
Is that the thing that's never going to happen? Maybe it'll be on the backwards at the end of time.
Maddie is saying that it was a game jam that he was just doing. That's fine, Maddie, but you made it. Okay, you did it, and it's done. I hope. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching you do it a little bit. It was good. But the Kingdom Bash, like, it's up there. You could play it right now on itch.io. Just go. Mm. Just go. Download it. Right. Give him $1. And it will, you know, be complete. Here's the thing. It's a game, for sure.
Yeah. Yes.
And it will be completed in his vision.
Yes.
Eventually.
Great.
All right. Time to get into the Dual Screens report. Guess what, Andy?
Oh, tell me.
Spider-Man Miles Morales on PlayStation 5 will feature an optional 4K 60 frames per second performance mode. Here's the thing.
But Steven,
what the fuck does that mean?
I thought the PS5 couldn't do 4K 60 FPS. I thought it was too weak for that.
Okay. Here's what I don't understand. Okay.
Because it's, listen,
go ahead.
Because your brain is where my brain's at now. Because you're thinking, wait a minute. Isn't it, don't you sacrifice the 4K for the FPS?
Right. You sacrifice visual for frames, typically, right, when you have a performance versus whatever they call it.
One would think 4K, 30 FPS versus 1440, 60 FPS.
Right.
But this is like, okay, then why is this not just the main mode? What's the other one going to look like?
So here's what the article on IGN says, and this is all speculative. So
it's 8K.
With 4K 60 frames per second coming as an optional mode, it seems sensible to presume that some graphical sacrifices will be made from the standard mode in order to enable this boosted performance. With next gen placing emphasis on resource intensive tech like ray tracing, it may be that performance mode turns those graphical effects off to free up power and divert that into frame rate. Here's what I think.
Mm.
I think they made a mistake, and it's not performance mode. That's what.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Performance mode to me would be like, oh, playing Spider-Man at 120 frames per second at 2K resolution, like a monitor, like a PC monitor at like a ridiculously high frame rate at like 2K.
I don't know though. I feel like it's kind of a weird thing not to mess up on, like. Performance.
Maybe the next word is going to be like heckin' performance.
Sure.
Like super frame rate.
I just want to know what the other, they should have put both options out there to have some less confusion. Like, okay, there's the one. What's the other one though? Because on the PS4 Pro, you have like the performance and the pretty.
Right.
You have your options. You want a more visual looking game? It's more about how things look.
Uh-huh.
With the 30 FPS, or do you want to go, with 60 FPS, or you want a full jacked like performance mode, 60 FPS, but a lower graphical fidelity? So that's what you expect.
Right.
So this seems like, what's the other one going to be?
Yeah.
Is it going to be 4K, less 4K, or less shit happening in the 4K at 30 FPS?
Like,
I don't know.
I mean, So ray tracing is a very specific technology, specific to, I don't know, whatever, but I'm not like a tech head, but when they were talking about the Unreal 5, it did its own type of ray tracing, and they said that was going to be like the standard, like PlayStation makes it so easy to, PS5 makes it so easy to do that, that it was going to be standard. So like, I guess to me, it just seems like a weird way to kind of, a weird thing to call this, unless they're targeting 120 frames. Maybe they're targeting like I said, a 2K, a double the frames. Like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
In any case, it is, it's an interesting flex right before Microsoft's event in a couple of days to talk about this game's performance mode right before that event.
And this was after Far Cry 6. They said that that's not going to be available in 4K 60 frames on PlayStation 5, only on the Series X and the One X.
Right.
Which is bizarre to me, because you know that the One X is not as powerful as PS5. So why would
I think
they
say
it was
that? Like, they called it Ultra
HD. 4K, yeah, the 4K Ultra HD 60.
And I think that's the distinction.
So I did a little research on this, and I'm not going to know it verbatim because I don't keep them open. But from what I understand, 4K 60 frames a second is like 3,800 by whatever. It's not like true 4,000 pixels by whatever.
Right.
Like 4K can be anything between a 30-something hundred and a 40-something, you know, 4,100, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's because a lot of TVs don't actually support true 4K. They call but they still call it 4K because it's like almost 4,000 pixels by whatever.
Right. It's very nearly there, basically.
Right. So it, and typically you find that in the bigger televisions for whatever reason. Smaller TVs, they typically are able to cram, I guess, more. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But that's what I was looking up. And a lot of the information I was getting were television-based information. So this could be completely different when it comes to video games and like this, and output. But as far as what televisions can handle, that's what they say. Ultra 4K HD is your true 4,000-whatever pixels, which some odd like 90% of TVs don't actually do unless you're getting... Like if you're getting a budget 4K TV that says it does HDR 4K, you're getting a 38 by whatever. Like my 4K TV is not a even though it calls it UHDR or whatever. And HDR is just for the, you know, the blacker blacks and the, you know, all that stuff. So maybe what they're saying is like, yeah, of course we're going to do 4K 60 in other places, but if you happen to have this kind of 4K TV that can do whatever, you know, it'll do it there. But it's no coincidence, put it this way, it's no coincidence that Insomniac came out with this news about Spider-Man basically a day after the Far Cry 6 stuff. So to basically say, no, it's not the technology, it's that they don't want to do the work. Or they have a deal with Xbox.
Sure.
Which is possible. Who knows? Because Xbox has been putting that 4K UHD on their boxes, like on the bottom. That's like a thing that they keep saying. So maybe they have some sort of like trademark or like, I don't know.
Dude, is it just me or does that optimize for Series X badge thing kind of irritate you? I don't like it on the cover art. It seems like a weird thing. It's just like an eyesore to me when I look at it.
I mean, but that, it's I feel the same way about greatest hits boxes.
Yeah. Right. But that's not on every single game case you're going to buy though. That's after a certain amount of time passes and it's under a certain library of games. But yeah, I get it. Same idea.
It's like those German game cases that have like the rating taking up a whole quarter of the box.
Right. Yeah. PEGI 18. It's like the whole top quadrant.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I mostly buy physical, except during COVID, I haven't bought a physical copy of anything. So it is what it is. All right, Andy, what's your story? What do you want to talk about?
Oh boy. This is a big deal.
Big deal. Big time stuff.
It's always a big deal on this show because all it is a big deal. xCloud is going to launch free bundle with Game Pass Ultimate in September.
It's pretty good. It's big stuff.
This is huge. So this is a good segue early yet for a listener question because it kind of is part of this news bit from Mr. Nuff. He says, with Microsoft just announcing Game Pass and xCloud being bundled together, they're opening the door to their ecosystem to more people than ever. Its value is undeniable. It's like a Kershy question, super long at this point. In addition to that, they've announced that all first-party titles will be available day one on Game Pass, another massive move. We've discussed the reason Sony doesn't need first-party titles tied to a subscription service, but how does Sony now respond to this shot across the bow? Great question. But I think there's one thing that no one's really talking about with this announcement. Mm-hmm. I think Microsoft just killed Stadia.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Stadia's gone.
I think that we're done with this. I think they mentioned a while ago that they were moving past the Sony Nintendo as a competitor and more towards Google as a competitor. And this kind of is in line with that sentiment that Phil Spencer had months ago. Mm-hmm. This has squashed Stadia forever. Because now you have your entire library. You have free games at launch that you can now stream on a bunch of devices.
Right.
That is like the ultimate selling point.
Yeah.
Like this is going to shift a massive amount of subscriptions from Microsoft, I foresee. If you launch like Halo Infinite on Game Pass, which they will, and you can play on a tablet day one and no additional charge, just have the... And folks already own this service, the Game Pass Ultimate. I have it. It's $15 a month. It's a great deal.
Mm.
So yeah. Stadia, I think, is dead in the water. It's over and done with. And as far as Sony responding, like enough mentioned in the question, I don't know. I don't see them putting their first-party stuff ever on PS Now. That's a great service itself, but it has to be a little bit more robust, I feel, to kind of mm-hmm. catch up to what they're doing here on Microsoft's end. But there's no denying that this was a great deal already in Game Pass. And now it's
right.
Now it's like an absolute no-brainer. You have to own this. If you're a gamer and you're not going to buy a Series X or you have an Xbox One, this is it for you. Like,
yeah,
you have to have this or a system. You can't have nothing at this point. So,
yeah.
So they've made it that they have to... that a gamer has to buy into their platform in some way, be it a console or this service.
Right. They, you know, coupled with the rumored third SKU, what I think PlayStation could do that would kind of not necessarily even the playing field, because we don't know yet if they need to,
or if
there's anything to even out.
Right.
But what I think they could do is say, hey, if you buy your game, if you buy our PlayStation, our first party games, they are also available to you on PlayStation Now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it unlocks the streaming version. So you can play anywhere and not rely on your home internet
mm-hmm.
or, you know, your PlayStation needing to turn on
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Like it's not remote play. You unlock your save, goes to the cloud. It'll read your save. Mm-hmm. And you'll play it from our mega servers or whatever.
Right.
Like that to me would be a really cool thing for them to do mm-hmm. to include in whatever they're going to call their service. Cause like, I feel like the writing's on the wall. They have to combine PS Plus and PS Now, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to combine them, smash them together, say, okay, you get this, you get this, you get this, you get this. Especially now that PS TV is dead.
Right. Like having a bundle of some kind makes sense at this point. You gotta do it.
Just bundle it. But then I think a really good way to kind of balance it off is, again, if you buy a game new, if you buy, you know, whatever, you get it right in with PS Now.
Mm-hmm.
And Xbox Live Gold is dead as well.
Right.
Which
right,
Buzz just mentioned
right,
in the chat.
Right.
Here's a little change of pace here.
Yeah, this feels like it's a hype zone news bit, but
it feels like a hype zone.
But you put it right here in the right in the juicy center, in the creamy
right there.
In the creamy middle of this news segment.
Because this drove women and a certain group of men
me.
just crazy.
Just say it. Just say it's me.
Superman is making a gaming PC, ladies and gentlemen, because he was getting torn to shreds by a bunch of, like, I guess, I don't know, podcasts, whatever the hell it was.
Dude.
Just making fun of it. I forget. He was on some show, and
dude,
I don't remember what it was.
I haven't seen it this bad since that Verge. Remember the Verge PC build like a year back? It was like totally roasted. He was like, and then you add like the cooling gel, then you do this,
right,
and it was
right.
The most ass backwards way of making a PC.
Uh-huh.
And it was like way overpriced.
Uh-huh.
And it was just It was a sponsored video from Best Buy. That's our sponsor, by the way, Verge.
Yeah, you're Verge.
But it was totally like lambasted. But now it's I'm getting the similar vibes with Henry Cavill's $4,000 PC. But I digress. Go into it.
So the video begins with a still shot of various components and peripherals, as is the unofficial requirement for PC building Ascension videos, followed by Cavill assembling and then reassembling his massive PC because he screwed it up the first time.
Oh, Superman, you are.
So here's what's inside his PC, in case you were wondering.
Right.
The ROG Strix GeForce RTX 2080 Ti 11GB. It's currently backordered, and it is a $1,200 graphics card.
I wonder how many Desperate Housewives pre-ordered this and are using it for something other than building a gaming PC.
Indeed.
Go on.
A Ryzen 9 3900X 12-core 3.8GHz processor,
which
is $430.
I bet the guys were Ryzen when they were watching this. Go on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trident Zero Z Neo for AMD Ryzen series, 32GB DDR4 at 3200. Those are $143.
I like the tridenting Henry Campbell's ass. Go on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kraken Z Series Z73 liquid cooler.
That writes itself.
$300. Crosshair 8 AMD X570 DDR4 ATX motherboard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
$556.
God, this is way excessive. Where are you trying to run? Where are you trying to run? Crisis? I don't get this.
Prime TX 1000 1000 watt modular PSU. That's the power supply. It's 1000 watts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is $500.
Mm-hmm.
970 Pro 1TB M2 NVMe solid state drive, a $340 drive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And his case is $150. It's the Meshify S2 Black ATX. He also has a Black Widow Elite keyboard for $130, a ROG Strix XG279Q Asus monitor, which is $651. It's 27 inches. And a Rival 650 Quantum wireless gaming mouse for $120. The estimated total to build his PC is $4,110.
You know, he could have hired a body double for the in-between shots in the actual assembly of this PC with the amount of money he paid for it. This is so excessive. Why?
He's jacked out of his mind.
What's he trying to do? I don't get it.
Let me tell you something, Andy.
What, seriously.
I have now streamed Call of Duty Warzone probably 5 or 6 times.
Sure.
Every single time my computer crashes at one point during my stream, Warzone sucks. And do you know why? It's because it always makes me fucking download drivers for this, reinstall that, clear your cache this, clear your cache that. He could spend $8,000 on his PC. He's still going to have that thing crash on him at least twice a day. Console gaming rocks. What do you got on your list, Andy?
I'm trying to understand like the need for it. You can have a decent rig for less than half what he spent here.
Because he's rich.
Oh my God.
He's got a lot of money. He's had breakfasts that are more money than
right. Well, speaking of things that piss me off.
Hit me with it.
So we got our first look at Far Cry 6 last week and it was amazing.
Uh-huh.
We all saw the amazing Gus Fring, our good buddy, Juan Carlo Esposito, playing the game's lead villain, it seems. But a lot of folks on the nets were unhappy with the casting of this role. Yes, it seems like Ubisoft is going to be canceled because they have cast a non-Latino character to play a Latino role.
Non-Latino actor, indeed.
In Far Cry 6. So let's just take away for a second that this man played a Latin role for, what was it, over a decade in Breaking Bad?
Uh-huh.
Let's not worry about that. No. So let's have a few choice tweets here. And it just drips with condescension. And just,
I love it.
It's like, just so we're clear, Juan Carlos Esposito is not Latinx. Oh, it's Latinx. You know what that means, by the way?
Latinx.
Yes, Latinx.
It means both male and female.
I think it's like the to give a non-gender trait. So you can't do Latino or Latina. So that's like the
right.
That's like an all like a catch-all.
Right.
Is Latinx.
It's like, well, there's no Latinan. Like there's American
or Latin. Is Latin a thing?
No, because they're no. No, we don't do that.
We don't do that.
Latin's its own thing.
Its own thing. Okay.
It's
Latin. Anyway, let me get back to this tweet.
Please do. I'm dying for this.
At Ubisoft, having him play a Cuban, quote unquote, dictator in the new Far Cry game is not what anyone needs. There are plenty of Latinx actors that fit the role better than Italian-American / Dutch actors. He's great, but not Latinx. So the reason why I had this on the sheet is I want to ask you a question as someone who's dabbled in the arts, the theater and the stage, mm-hmm. and the cinema, both television and feature film. What do you make of this? If you were, let me ask you this. We'll put it this way. What would you say is your most convincing and impressive accent that you can imitate? You could do a lot. I've heard your Mickey's. I've heard your hardcore Italian, like deep in the Brooklyn Italian. I've heard your Scottish, your British. What is you think is like the one that you do the best out of all of them?
I really don't know, but probably
gun to your head.
Probably like a Scottish or
unfortunately
Asian. I could do a pretty good. Pretty good, like Chinese. Korean.
You do a good Jewish too, in the stereotypical sense. I mean,
that's more Brooklyn.
But let's say because I think knowing you for so long, I've heard Scottish come through more than most accents that you do.
Sure,
for good because I think it's what you're most comfortable with because you're good at it.
Okay.
So let's say there was a role that called for a Scottish person and you auditioned with your accent and you killed it. Like you killed it in the way you acted and just your appearance and your body language and your you were what that character was, but you're just not Scottish. But you do a great accent though.
Yep.
Would you give that role up to a Scottish person who wasn't as talented or as good as you were?
Here's the thing, Andy.
Tell me.
I want to... Somebody reply to this woman and say, did you not enjoy Wolverine?
Right.
Did you not enjoy him in any of that? Because guess what? He's Australian.
And it goes back to...
How about Margot Robbie?
Almost every single British actor that's cast in a movie here does an American accent.
Is it because they're white or black or what? Is it a skin tone thing?
Mm-hmm. And it also goes back to, I think, what's her face? Jenny Slate, that did the voice for a black character on Big Mouth for Netflix. She said she's going to stop doing that because she feels she's taking away from an actual black actor role.
That's her choice.
Right. But do you think
so? Here's the thing: if the casting, if the creator of a show,
right,
was creating a show and said, "I want a person who isn't this person. Mm-hmm. I want somebody doing a caricature,
right,
of
sure
a sassy black woman, like, and I want it to be the most opposite sassy black woman you could think,
like Cleveland, perfect example.
Okay,
so it's a white actor playing a black man,
right." Playing a cartoon character. Yes, correct.
Correct.
Right. So if the creators of the show say the purpose of this is to have this type of person playing this type of role because it comes out of their mouth so ridiculously and it's a cartoon and it's for comedy, I feel like that holds a different credence than somebody. For example, you can't do West Side Story anymore having a bunch of white dudes playing Puerto Ricans.
No, you can't.
That is stupid.
Right.
But there are still, there are white Puerto Ricans.
Unless you do a reverse Hamilton. Do an all-white cast for an ethnic show.
Now, imagine that. Imagine that for a minute. Imagine this. Imagine for a second, Hamilton, which is about a bunch of white dudes being performed
by
as an ethnic,
by all,
you know,
people of color.
All people of color, right. And that's on purpose.
Right.
That's the point of the play.
But if
that's
I
like
do
kind of the thing.
If I cast the color purple and it's a bunch of whiteies.
Now, see, now you're getting it.
Yeah, now I'm getting it.
However, I think in this case, I think what you have to realize as just a human being on this earth, like, you're going to cast the best person for the role. Right. And it's sometimes it's easier to see an actor, see how they perform in a specific role, contact their agent and say, would he be interested in being in this thing?
Right.
Than it would be to say, let's hold a casting call and hope we get lucky, you know?
So here's my main point of argument here is a lot of it lies in representation. It's a lot of people are vowing for a more diverse characters in media in general to reflect just society as a whole. And I get that. It's a noble thing to pursue. If you want to, you know, we're not just all one skin color. We're all different skin colors. I totally get that. But when you have, this is a leading role in a major video game franchise that's representing a specific culture that many think is underrepresented in gaming. And to nitpick about who's voicing that character.
It's not just voicing, though. It's his likeness, too.
Right.
And
it's
also,
true.
But
true.
The other thing we have to remember is isn't it a fictional country?
It is. It's also a fictional character. This person is not real.
Yeah, but just character aside, because, I mean, like Mikey Kerr says in the chat, Nadine was played by Laura Bailey. Nadine is a black character.
Right.
So, like, that to me is weird. But didn't they say, in that case, didn't they say they didn't know she was going to be black? Like, it was just the character model just happened to turn, and they were like, yes, that's what that looks awesome. Let's have that. But it was after all the mocap, I think.
Right, but
I could be wrong.
Did it seem weird when she was voicing Nadine, though? Like, why? She doesn't sound black enough to me?
I honestly, me either. I don't even know.
Right.
Like, up until The Last of Us 2, I did not know what Laura Bailey looked like. Like, if I closed my eyes and said,
Laura Bailey, I have no idea
who the fuck she is. I have no idea.
I just see Abby now when I see her.
And
that's not
on purpose. And Abby, she doesn't even look like Abby.
No. Dude, isn't it odd that she played two Abbeys in Seattle? Isn't that crazy?
I don't like it.
So here's back to my original point. It's what's going to happen is if you keep having this sort of like outrage over this kind of stuff, do you think we're going to be casting characters of diverse backgrounds or just get rid of the headache? Because recently there was a role that was turned down by, what's her face? Scarlett Johansson playing a trans character in a movie. Right. And there was a huge uproar because she's not trans.
Right.
But she can bring attention to your community because she has star power because she's fucking Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
So what's more important, having someone to advocate and to be and to represent your community that's going to have attention drawn to it, or cast a no name just to say, hey, we cast a trans actor, but no one's going to watch the movie anyway? What matters more to you in that regard?
I think their argument, just to play the devil's advocate to your argument, I think the argument there is you don't know if that great actor exists because you didn't try. Like, you don't know. Like, there could be somebody that will blow the performance, and it would be a career-making performance for some trans actor that doesn't get the chance.
Sure,
you know,
but
for whatever reason.
Is that the standard we should be going for? Like, you have to be of that group?
No, they're just not going to make the movies. That's what's going to happen. You're just not going to get those movies. You're not going to get those games.
Like, exactly. That's not going to happen. Like, do you think...
When I write creatively now, I don't include race, ethnicity... Nothing. I don't include none of that stuff. Like, yes, there might be a gay character. There might be that. But like, I try and make it just like it's their name, it's their age,
right?
And here's their personality.
But
traits.
Should I?
I don't say what they look like anymore.
Say that you can't play a gay character because you're not gay. Like, I can't act for shit, but I'm gay.
Some of the best performances of a gay character. Right. Right. No, I get it. But there are, again, there are plenty of gay actors that could, sure, you know, blow me out of the water.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look at some of the most iconic gay characters in cinema were played by straight men.
Dude, Will and Grace. Will is straight.
Yeah, there's Will and Grace. There's Modern Family.
Right.
There's fucking and gay dudes since the beginning of acting. Gay dudes have been playing straight dudes forever.
You see, okay? This is why I was glad to add this to the docket, because it would spark some really good conversation.
If you think gay actors are only around since fucking 1980,
yeah, but see, no one knew they were gay though. So they were closeted gays, they were playing straight. So it's like,
gay,
well, I'm playing straight in real, so I can act in a movie. Why not? I'm acting, sure, all day long.
All right. Harvey Milk.
Right.
What was the other one? There was another one that was. That
oh,
was
dude, huge, what was it? Dog Day. Dallas Buyers Club.
Dallas Buyers Club. Dog Day Afternoon.
Sure. Girls Don't Cry. Boys Don't Cry. Boys Don't Cry.
Anyway, right. I digress. Let's move on. Hey, so there was a weird game that was.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
was, I think it was tweeted out by.
It was trending on Twitter, and it made my. I did a little eyebrow raise. I was like, what's happening?
Yeah. Indie publisher Wales Interactive has withdrawn an announcement of Gamer Girl, an interactive FMV title that centers on a fictional female games streamer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Announced last week, this is coming from gamesindustry.biz if you want to read the article yourself. The game puts players in the role of a chat moderator attempting to keep order in the chat stream of AbbyCake99, the main character. They also offer her advice on how to handle things when she faces a threat from an anonymous predator. The trailer and announcement tweet from Wales Interactive prompted complaints from other female streamers and abuse victims. PC Gamer reports the publisher attempted to address concerns via a statement via Twitter, but has since opted to remove all announcement materials. The games section of the Wales Interactive website is currently inactive, and the trailer has been removed from its channel, although Xbox View TV still hosts it at the time of this writing. And PC Gamer reports even the press kit has been removed from Google Drive. I just want to read this quote. Gamer Girl,
sure,
is about the impact user comments and actions have on a streamer's mental health and well-being, the publisher tweeted. The reason why FMV Future created the game was to raise the issue of the toxic environment which can often appear online behind the anonymity of a username. The publisher described the game as an empowering story of a female streamer who battles the trolls and overcomes the toxic characters in her stream. Wales Interactive emphasized that the game is actually co-written by lead actress Alexandra Burton, who improvised the script. This point was reiterated in response to several tweets from other users speculating that Gamer Girl is an all-male production. Because why the fuck, like, honestly, whatever. The firm also stressed that FMV Future spent 4 years researching Gamer Girl's content, including interviews with dozens of female streamers, most of who have experienced abuse of various kinds online. Some of these interviews are planned to be shared within the game. Online abuse is real and is still happening every day, the publisher concluded. Gamer Girl speaks to raise awareness of the issue. Now, before I ask you for your thoughts, there are two ways you can fix this.
Go ahead.
Don't call it Gamer Girl.
Uh-huh.
Focus on the stalker,
mm-hmm,
because Gamer Girl has troll connotations.
Mm-hmm.
Gamer Girl means all you do is you stream and you get famous because you have boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Gamer Girl, Gamer Girl to a group on the internet means a very specific thing, and it's usually not flattering.
No,
it's usually making fun of.
It's very condescending. It's an insult, yeah.
Right.
Right.
Then the other thing you do is don't market it like you're trying to make money.
Mm.
Don't market this thing and be like, hey, this is our new game. Come spend your money and buy it. Instead, put it in places like as a teaching tool, as a game to teach certain things, not necessarily like school, but maybe partner up with NAMI. Mm-hmm. The organization that deals a lot with mental health issues,
mm-hmm,
you know, you can do that. You can do suicide awareness. You can do, like, there are all different groups that you could pair with and say, play newly named game, because Gamer Girls is a shitty name.
Mm-hmm.
Here's this game, and this is about what's going on in real life, and it's really shitty, and you play somebody who just happens to be close with this person, but through the anonymity of the internet, mm-hmm. which a lot of people are. Some of my mods I never met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met Mikey Kirsch, and he's a mod of this channel. I've never met him before. I've seen his face before, but I've never met him.
Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, he's one of my mods, and he protects me in my streams. So I just, you know, it's these are real situations. I just think that the tone of their trailer was, look at this cool interactive experience,
right,
instead of, look how scary this shit can be, and we need to bring awareness to it.
Right. I think it lost it when it became a gendered issue. I think if you focused more on just online toxicity in general, because this seems like it's basically like it's weak, vulnerable victim women who are harassed by disgusting men online. That's the paintbrush of it all. That's what it feels like. And
at first glance, yeah,
right. But you know, that's what they're going for with this. It's undeniable.
Well, no, not necessarily, because what they show is that this girl goes into these dangerous, this woman goes into these dangerous situations, but is empowered and confronts all the shit.
No, I'm just saying, like, the overall, like, the undercurrent of it is,
right,
female streamers are weak, vulnerable, or preyed upon by horrendous, out of control men, and men are the problem, and we must, right, stop the evil men. I think if you could have done, and it also just, it's a little bit, it's too cringy overall. And I don't like using that word often because it makes me cringe, the word cringy. But I feel like, I don't know, when you're calling attention to these, and we had a discussion a few weeks past about the whole Laura Bailey Gang, you know, death threats online. When you go out of your way to discuss these things and to put such a huge light on it, like, this empowers trolls too. In so many ways, it's like,
you know,
we've done our job so well that we have this shit now that we did.
Based on your previous statement, though, about the actors, mm-hmm. about like Scarlett Johansson, sure, bringing attention to a group of marginalized people, mm-hmm. with mega star power, like, I feel like the same argument could be made.
Oh, listen, one is a movie where you're portraying someone's story as a people, but this is like, this is a total victim culture thing, this game.
But you're playing a person that is trying to protect that person.
Sure.
This isn't like you... Yeah, the whole thing is that you're guiding this... There's somebody else stalking this woman,
mm-hmm.
and you are moderating, trying to get... And like, according to what I saw in the trailer, like, she, like, goes to meet this person before you know that it's like the person's bad,
mm-hmm.
and you through text messages you tell her maybe you should bring a friend, or you know what, it's probably nothing, you know, you go and let me know how it goes, like, kind of thing. Like, you're not necessarily given a choice of help the killer or help her. It's like there is no right answer. You're just kind of like giving anonymous, right, advice to somebody because you know you don't really know her,
mm-hmm.
so you know, you're just trying to help her by doing what you think is right. It's like any game that has decisions that are very gray,
right,
area decisions.
Look,
like the Outer Worlds has great.
Look,
you know,
I totally get you, but you know, you're comparing someone with a severe identity like Roadblock and being born in the wrong body and that struggle of acceptance versus mean comments online. I don't want to water it down,
I don't think it's fair to water it down because, like, there are, you know, women that get sexually assaulted, raped, abused, attempted kidnappings, just crazy shit based on meeting people that you know, from the internet or whatever, or people like legitimately stalking somebody or calling their employer.
Do a game about swatting. I think swatting is a more major issue because people have fucking died from swatting.
Well, we don't know,
right,
what happens to these,
right,
women. Like, terrible things happen to, and it's documented. Like they say,
right,
they have dozens of interviews of women who have had horrible shit happen.
Like actually stalked in real life, harassed in real life, raped in real life, like from their Twitch streams or stream in general.
Or stream, streaming in general, yeah.
See, I never heard about that. Like actual cases of it.
I mean, I know personally of two people that were victims of a predator online. Like I mean through their streams.
And they found them in real life?
Oh yeah, they showed up to conventions.
Oh well.
To meet them.
Well, listen, if you're a big personality, and then yeah, but
not a big personality. Just you're just a tiny little streamer. It's like I know you. Come to my hotel room. Like just shitty shit.
Is that the extent of it? Just come to my hotel room.
No, I don't know. I'm just vamping.
Right.
Either way, it
just seemed doomed from the get go. This whole idea is just, I don't know.
I don't know if it's like don't make this game because we don't want to bring attention to those people or whatever, because I don't think that's the right answer. I think saying, hey, no, this shit happens and this is how scary it can get is a good
you know what?
It was the execution of the trailer and the tone.
It's
of
too much on the nose.
Where they put it, it was like it was like you were announcing the next like cool indie
it was like,
game.
Like do you remember
what it should be.
Do you remember the whole Gamergate thing years back? There was like a law Law and Order episode based on Gamergate. It was like a girl like, go home, gamer girl, like being harassed. It's it's so much of a caricature. It's like no one's taking this shit seriously. It's like if you do it a little bit less on the nose, like a little more subtle, more nuanced, maybe I'll respect it. This just seems like you're trying. It's like a little bit of,
like I said, don't name it Gamer Girl because that has a lot of connotation to female gamers who stream.
And just like girls
some
play games.
Some
in
use that. Some use that as like their thing. Like I'm a gamer girl. Whatever. That's okay.
That drives me
but
crazy.
I think it was just drives me crazy. I don't know. It just didn't seem like it. Like the name, I think would go a long way. If you change it to be something a little bit more serious, less flippant, and something with less connotation to it in that community, it would do better. And I think partnering up with charity organizations or whatever, where you kind of put this game, would help. Would help with, especially with,
like,
you know,
you know what you,
like,
could
you
do.
You can't just tweet, oh, this is why we made this game. Like that's not enough. Like
you see now, and they've only interviewed female streamers for this game as research. If it was again a more broad stroke, like yes, have the star role be a female character, but if she meets other, let's say, male and female streamers of similar issues, to tell a more broad story.
That doesn't really bother me. I mean, I don't. It's a thing that happens. And I understand. And I get it. Like, with their follow up tweet, like I know what they were trying to do. It just didn't come across the way they wanted it to. Right. And I think you could fix it with a couple of simple changes. And again, you know, they say that they were trying to raise the issue of the toxic environment, which is very real. We know that. I know plenty of people that are victims of that thing. We know it's a real thing. They've interviewed dozens of female streamers who have experienced abuse of these kinds online. Again, we know that's a real thing. We know what happens, but there's a reason why that community was outraged or upset about this is because of the execution and how they represented that the female, you know, streamer gamers. Like it comes across as a kind of a joke.
Yeah.
At least that's what how it felt, especially with the name Gamer Girl. Like that.
Right.
It's almost like you're kind of slapping them in the face.
Listen,
I don't know.
You're 4 years of research, and you couldn't have a better name than that. Like, what did you learn in those four years of research?
Maybe I'm off on the whole Gamer Girl thing. Like, maybe that's not a reason for like. I just think that the two things that would immediately help is if they called it something else, something a little bit more serious, a little that has less connotation, and they partnered up with charity like organizations that help these women or help women of abuse and like go that route instead of making it seem like they are just making a fun video game that's creepy, you know, like because that's the other thing I got like this like creepy like horror thriller vibe from it, which may have been on purpose, I don't know, but I digress. Let's move on to the final
it reads news. Like a Goosebumps story for the modern age.
Yeah, like a almost like a cautionary tale.
Right. Going. Scary story to tell in the dark. All right. Today we got a Nintendo Direct Mini. And it was exactly what it was advertised as, and people were still angry at it because internet rage is it's in high supply out there. So why not? So Nintendo kicked off their first Direct Mini partner showcase today.
Mm-hmm.
And they showcased a Cadence of Hyrule DLC pack. So it was 3 packs, a season pass. Shin Megami Tensei came back into the fold. Yep. Part 3 is getting a remake released on Switch and PS4. And SMT5 came out of the shadows with an update and launching also the same day globally as Tensei 3. So that was great. I was like,
that's all I cared about. That's big news.
Yeah, that game was shown off way back when in the early Switch days. I think it was the first E3 when the Switch came out. We saw a glimpse of SMT5.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, where the fuck are you, dude? It's been like 4 years. What's going on? And it finally came back. And then we got a little bit of a Rogue Company. That's Hi-Rez.
Yeah, Rogue Company was an
online shooter. Mm-hmm. And then we got, what was it? Atelier Ryza 2, cool. Lost Legends, and the Secret Fairy Tale Flutters to Switch this winter. So again, it was very, very brief, showcasing partner games, not first party games. And we're going to get
They never said this was going to be a first party.
Right. And we're going to get more of these similar directs throughout the rest of the year. And again, people, the salt that flowed from this could season a million meals across the lands, because people,
mm-hmm.
I think there was, see, when you read a lot to the internet about rumors and things that you like our hype zone, which I won't get ahead of, but there was a whole F-Zero rumor thing with the Twitter account recently. And I'm pretty sure some guy was like, hey, there's a direct coming out about partners, but you know, they're going to be sneaky and announce like Earthbound 3 when it's done. Right. Or like F-Zero, because, you know, they got to surprise us somehow. And it was exactly what it was. It was just a bunch of games from Nintendo's various partners to be excited about. And that was it. I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie. I would love to have seen an actual E3-like direct from Nintendo this year.
It's not going to happen.
No, I mean, at this point, it ain't going to happen.
No, it's not going
to
happen.
I mean, they have obvious things to announce. We got, you know, Paper Mario announced and released like, you know, within a month of each other. Other news like this. This all could have been a nice little E3 bundled presentation, but we're getting it in piecemeal. But yeah, just calm down, everybody. It's news on games. Let's be happy about that. You're gonna get the good shit in due time. But in the meantime, just enjoy. Enjoy this, and don't.
All right, hit us.
Don't get
hit
overhyped.
Us up with
don't
the,
get overhyped.
We had a news story that was by that Buzz put in, but it's just a countdown for Xbox's thing, so that's not news. But thank you, Buzz. Yes, we know it's in 3 days. We didn't need a Twitter account to start a countdown of it. But thank you.
Wait, is it just a Twitter account for the countdown?
No, it's their Twitter account that they put up like a fucking countdown.
All right, I thought it was like @723 Xbox countdown handle.
Yeah, we're aware, Buzz. Everybody knows it's in 3 days. Hopefully they show something. I don't want to hear you guys cry. Actually,
no, dude, listen. Between you and me and the chat, I am so excited for this stream on the 23rd. You have no idea.
It's very exciting.
Like, I'm ready for it. I'm ready to see like Halo. I'm ready to see Hellblade. I'm ready to see whatever the fuck all the acquisitions are doing lately. I want to see some Outer Lands, some Outer World shit.
Outer Worlds. Yeah, they tease something tonight too.
Right.
I still gotta beat that game. So it's gonna, don't release
it's,
anything.
It's,
you jerks.
It's gonna be 4K, 8K, and 120 FPS for Series X.
The Ocho.
The Ocho. All right.
The Ocho K.
Hype Zone, which we hinted at earlier less than 5 minutes ago. This is the ultimate cautionary tale, people. There was an F-Zero account that was spotted on Twitter. And there was also a Mario Brothers anniversary Twitter handle for 35-year anniversary.
Uh-huh.
And the whole world went ablaze with speculation. New F-Zero game, new anniversary announcement for Mario Brothers. But this is now a fake. It is unofficial as fuck. It's not real. Not happening, F-Zero. So people have to learn that it's like when you have a license renewal of an IP that's like 40 years old. It ain't coming back. And I myself, I'm guilty of this when I see like Parasite Eve get renewed every year. And I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's that remake happening.
Maybe something's going on over there.
But when I see, it was a game from the first Sony PS4 event. It was Deep Down from Capcom. Mm. Which has been renewed every single year, and it's been in limbo. And it's like,
it's coming.
Maybe it'll happen. It's gonna be in that. It's gonna be in that showcase, right? Oh, State of Play. Yeah, it's being saved. Saving it. They're saving it for after Microsoft's thing, because the logic is, Stephen, that we have Microsoft's thing in a few days, so we have Sony countering with their own bombshells, because they're gonna show their whole. They're gonna blow the wad in, you know, a month before. Yeah, had some reserves right. going.
Yeah.
This is how the sick mind works. This is how I've been trained by people online to think about my gaming news. To be optimistic and to be let down all the time. That's what it feels like.
Always. no, I just expect nothing now. I'm like,
yeah, whenever you're ready. That's where I'm at.
Whenever you guys are ready, just show what you feel like showing. I honestly don't care. But yeah, it just the F-Zero JP account tweeted and said, I'm not affiliated with Nintendo at all.
I'm not real.
Super Mario 35 is the other Twitter account. It doesn't have any messages.
Which will likely be also unofficial. Because,
like, why would they do their own Twitter account for Mario 35? Like,
I don't know.
They have a Nintendo account.
Which has millions of followers on it. It's a huge platform.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Like retweet their own account,
right?
So that they make sure millions of people.
Why are you going to? Who's making F-Zero accounts?
I don't know, man. That would be like us making an account for the Hype Zone,
right?
It doesn't make sense.
Fucking at Retro Game Club, RGC. Follow us now on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. I understand some games have their own Twitter. Like, I'm not stupid,
listen.
Like,
when a game,
that when you fucking announce it.
No, listen. When a game's popularity sort of like surpasses like the publisher or developer, you'll see like if you follow like some big hit game, and at least me and my getting guests on the show research, when I follow the breadcrumbs like game developer Twitter handles, you'll see the developer has sometimes way less than the actual game. Like the messenger has a huge following, but the actual developer a little bit less. But F-Zero,
not everybody cares to know.
But listen,
the people that make the game,
right? Because more people will know a game, an indie game, by name than who made it. But Nintendo, you don't know what the fuck Nintendo is. It's fucking Nintendo.
Yeah. No, I know. Whatever, I digress. All right, before we get to the end of the show, we already read our mailbag. Chat, if you have anything you want to talk about, now is the time to do it. So get in that chat, write what you want to talk about, and I will do the housekeeping while you guys are typing up any questions or comments or concerns that you have. Any comments at all. You want to say anything, as long as it's, you know, respectful, we'll read it. And again, if you want to watch the show live, it's twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. If you are watching later on YouTube, at youtube.com/dualscreenstv, or if you are listening to it in podcast form. If you want to follow us on social media, speaking of Twitter, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at Batchild, and Andy is at Pants Guy. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. That's DS Podcasts. I already gave you our Twitch and YouTube, so I'm going to scroll right down to the next part. Our theme song, 16-Bit Attack, is by Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions. Matt Murray did our beautiful overlay and logo. Andrew Douglas does all of our cartoon art, so thank you. And you can follow him at Angimoto, A-N-G-I-M-O-T-O. If you want to send us an email, feedback@ndspodcast.com. That's right, feedback@ndspodcast.com. And of course, if you want to support us on Patreon, just like our Patreon producers, FNH Paul and Colton the Apprentice Nestler, that's patreon.com/ndspodcast. That's patreon.com/ndspodcast. And if you want to wear a cool t-shirt that we made with our logos and stuff, dualscreens.com/store. dualscreens.com/store. Now, before we get into the chat, Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids? What do you want to tell them about our next guest?
Oh, we're having on Radical Fish Games, developer of CrossCode.
CrossCode!
Which came out recently on consoles, and it's been on Steam for about over a year. And made an amazing game, and I can't wait to get into that conversation. That's, we're recording that on Wednesday. So, Patreon supporters, you're going to get early access.
You're big on that.
Hell yeah.
You're big on that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, how early is their early access?
I don't know, a couple hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's definitely...
Oh, no, we're recording the afternoon. It's the afternoon recording, so maybe almost a full day. So yeah, there's that.
Buzz Killington says he just wants to say that the Xbox show is Thursday and his body is ready. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Obsidian started their tease of Outer Worlds DLC. We already mentioned that, Buzz. Get with the fucking program. Maybe open your ears. Take your cobweb out of your goddamn ears. And Paper Mario is really fun. I've been watching people stream that. It looks okay. It looks like it's a fun game. I still hope for more RPG, but it is what it is.
Just get Bug Fables.
The only bug I want in my life is Bug Snacks.
Talking about Bug Snacks. All right. Is that all? Should we bid everyone adieu?
I don't know. Should we?
Yeah, I gotta walk the dog. He's been sitting here for the last 3 hours.
Wag the dog.
So I will report back and see how he's doing this first walk since he's been on meds for the last like half the day.
I understand.
Alrighty.
I understand. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, everyone in the chat. I appreciate you stopping by. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Erengard, who was begging us to stop talking about the gamer girl. I don't know if we
just
were
talking about it.
I don't know if it was something we were saying, he thought we maybe were digging ourselves in a hole. I thought we were being pretty respectful about it, but whatever. I just want them to do better at representing that community and like making this thing matter instead of tucking it back under a rug and going away forever. Because I don't know, maybe they're telling a good story. I don't know. Thank you for listening, folks. Remember to, if you're listening or watching on YouTube, rather, please hit the subscribe button. It'll help us out a lot. There's a lot of you, a lot of new people here, so thank you so much. Hit the thumbs up. You know, give us a comment, and anything that you want to talk about, you know. Thank you very much. Thank you, Andy, as always. Love having you here and love doing this with you. That's it, folks. That's going to do for us. And as always, please be excellent to each other.